puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. It's such a popular segment for so many of our Weekend Morning Show listeners. This is time for Abandoned Manitoba. And the engagement of our listeners really came through this past week. Gordon Galsborough joins me now. Gordon, hello.
Good morning, Nadia.
What you've been getting a lot of calls in the past little while.
I have heard from some of our listeners. Last week, of course, we talked about railway stations, and I mentioned that we had mapped so far 47 of them. I said, you know, there's probably a few out there that we have missed. You know, I anticipate we'll probably hear from people if there are a few. Well, did we ever? So the total that we had said last week, 47, has now risen to, drumroll please, 70.
Wait for it.
73.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I had said that there were probably ONs that had been turned into people's homes, and of course they aren't necessarily on the original spot. You know, what am I going to do? Drive down the road looking at buildings, trying to find ones that look like train stations? Well, apparently there are people who have done that. And yeah, so the total is now 73, and who knows how many more there might be. So
people were just calling you and telling you this?
Yeah, emails. I got quite a lot of contacts from people saying, hey, did you know about the one at...
And I love our listeners. Fantastic. Well, that's good to hear. Now, remind us about the clue from last week.
Right. So I said that we would be talking about a huge abandoned object along the Trans-Canada Highway in eastern Manitoba that would leave our listeners stumped.
So I was thinking of a huge tree. How close am I?
Yes, you are right on the money, in fact. It's a very large tree stump on the south side of the highway. It's about 22 kilometers east of Richer. And when I say huge, I mean huge. The stump is over 3 feet high off the ground. It's at least 10 feet in diameter. And of course, this would make it one of the largest trees in the province if it was a real tree.
Okay.
But there's the rub. It's not a real tree. It is actually made from concrete.
So why do we have a tree stump that large made out of concrete?
Well, to answer this question, we have to go back to early September of 1955. Now, it had been a hot, dry summer that year. And in fact, at this time in September, they were going through some pretty windy times. It was very a windy period. And unfortunately, a massive forest fire broke out near the newly constructed Trans-Canada Highway. Now, listeners may remember, we talked about the Trans-Canada a few weeks back, and that was the one that kind of wound its way through the forest, through Rennie and Whitemouth, and eventually to Beausejour. That's not the highway we're talking about today, because in the late 1950s, they now had the new Trans-Canada, the much straighter Trans-Canada, faster Trans-Canada, the one we have today. But the story I'd heard about this tree stump was that it had meant to commemorate the fire and the brave firefighters who had fought it. Now, this didn't seem like the whole story to me. There seemed like there was something missing from it. You know, for example, the huge size of this stump means that there was obviously something intended to go on top. And what I had been told was they were going to put a statue of Smokey the Bear on top. And, well, if the statue was going to be sort of appropriate for the size of the stump, it would have been huge. I mean, it would have been massive. It wouldn't have been a life-size statue of a bear. It would have been many, many, many times larger. And, of course, that means it would have been expensive. You know, they would have put a lot of money into this. And I'm thinking, why would they put a lot of money and effort into something that, well, in any given year at this time, there were dozens of forest fires around Manitoba. You know, why put all this effort into this particular one? Like, I didn't quite understand that. So digging into the old newspapers of the time, I found the answer.
What was it?
Turns out there was a tragic element to this story that I hadn't known about. There were three young men, late teens, early 20s, that had been working as pulp cutters. They were cutting trees for pulp and paper in the area. One of them apparently had broken his leg and had just been discharged from the hospital with a big cast on his leg. They were all related to each other. Apparently two of them were brothers, one was a cousin, and they thought, let's go and check out this forest fire we've heard about. They went into the area and they, I guess, didn't anticipate just how rapidly the fire was spreading because of the high winds, and they were quickly surrounded by the flames. Well, the two guys without the cast could run, and they apparently, by all counts, they could have outrun the fire, but the guy with the cast on his leg could not, and they stayed with him, and unfortunately all three of them perished.
Sad story.
Yeah, but there's another dimension to it. It turns out they found that the fire had started in three separate places. And that sort of thing doesn't happen. You know, if it's the result of a lightning strike, if it's the result of a dropped cigarette or something, it starts in a single place. The fact that it started in three places means it was arson. You know, so in other words, these three young men died needlessly as a result of an arsonist. And so that's the sort of tragic element of this story. And I think that's what motivated the interest in putting up a monument with Smokey the Bear on it.
So the idea that Smokey was a symbol of forest fire prevention.
Exactly. You know, this fictional character, which incidentally was based on a real bear, a bear cub that had been rescued from a forest fire, and of course used as a public education figure for forest fire suppression, and became one of the biggest, most widely known sort of icons in American culture. I mean, right up there was Santa Claus. Here in Manitoba, the Forestry Association used him through the 1960s. In fact, interesting, I came across a reference in 1964 where a fire chief here in Winnipeg had said, well, why are we using this American symbol? Why don't we introduce our own Canadian symbol? And he even proposed one called Bucky the Beaver.
I like it.
Yeah, well, apparently, I guess Smokey was just too entrenched in people's minds, and public opinion weighed in, and Smokey was retained. So that was the idea, that this big monument along the Trans-Canada was going to remind people about the urgency to prevent forest fires, and especially in this case, to remind people about the fact that an arson fire can have disastrous consequences.
When was the stump built?
Information about this was sketchy. I spent like a day at the provincial legislative library trying to find the documents. You know, if they were going to spend a lot of money building this big monument, I thought there would be some kind of paper trail. You know, and maybe I just didn't dig deeply enough, but I could not find the actual goods on exactly when it was going to happen, how much it was going to cost, who was going to sculpt the bear and all that. But what I did find was there was a reference to the fact that the monument was going to be put up around the time that the highway was being twinned. Because the initial Trans-Canada, this one that I said was nice and straight and fast, was still only one lane going each way. And of course, today we know that the Trans-Canada has two lanes going each way. Well, that twinning occurred between 1970 and 1972. But the element of the story was that they were going to build the statue right next to the highway. But at the last minute, the engineers for the twinning moved the highway to the north a bit. And as a result, they had already started building the stump where the statue was going to stand. And it was no longer beside the highway. It was quite a ways into the treed area. And as a result, I guess they figured, well, that's kind of no point. So they just abandoned it at that point. And the statue never got built. The Smokey never got put on top.
So it was never even created for a different location?
This is an element of the story that I just don't know, I'm afraid. I mean, I would imagine, though, that they didn't start making the Smokey. They just built this concrete tree stump that he was going to stand on.
So why is this stump still there, then?
I think it's a case of out of sight, out of mind. You know, it was at the time that this was all being considered, this area had been burned. All the trees were burned away, and so it was quite conspicuous. But, of course, time passes, trees regrow, and by the time we get into the 1970s, this is now 15 years later, the trees had started to regrow. And I guess the site was reclaimed by the forest. Well, in fact, about 10 years ago, a reporter for a local newspaper went out looking for the stump, and actually had a tough time finding it because it was so heavily overgrown. Finally did find it, said it would look kind of eerie, this huge stump surrounded by what are now fairly mature trees. They're maybe 40, 50 years old. They're a pretty good size of their own. And things would have stayed that way if not for the fact that a few years ago, there was going to be some additional road construction done, and they needed a source of gravel for the construction. So the provincial government gave the construction company the right to dig some gravel right there on the site, and it turned out the area they gave them the right to was right where the stump was located. And so they looked and went, oh, that's not a good thing. The stump is there, and kind of it's become a local sort of legend. So they had the construction company pick up the stump and move it over to the edge of what they were digging. So when you go there today, you'll actually see the stump. It's standing on the edge of this, what looks like a little lake where they dug the gravel out. And it's because they've cut the trees where they were digging gravel, it's now a lot more conspicuous. So before, you had to really, really look. You had to get out of your car and wander. But actually now it's so visible that actually I was driving that way a few weeks ago. And in fact, I hadn't really thought about this story in a while. And I just out of the corner of my eye, I saw the tree stump and I went, there's the tree stump. And I actually curved back and I drove around and came back so I could stop and have a look at it. You know, so it actually fairly conspicuous there right along the highway. And so I actually had my picture standing on top of the tree stump, sort of pretending to be smoky.
Well, I wonder if now in the days of crowdfunding, whether this intended memorial could one day be completed.
You know, I think that's a nice idea because, you know, the original story, I think, is still a valuable one, reminding people about the consequences of forest fires, and especially ones that are intentionally started. You know, that there can be real consequences, like the lives of three young men being snuffed out. So, you know, maybe there's a good story there. Now, whether or not that monument should be put up there or maybe somewhere else, I'm told there was local opposition to moving it. There was a plan, apparently, to move it to the Forest Discovery Center that's not far away. Unfortunately, that Forest Discovery Center is presently closed. And so that may not be the best place to put it. So, you know, there'd have to be some thought given, I think, to what to do with it. But yeah, I think that would be a nice reminder. It put up a plaque saying, well, there's no Smokey. Imagine that in your mind. But this stump is still a reminder of the need to ensure that we don't get forest fires burning needlessly.
I want to see your Smokey the Bear impression. No?
No,
okay,
no.
Fair enough. But I love that you did that anyway. What's your clue for next week, Gordon?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, the National Trust for Canada released its 2019 list of top 10 endangered buildings in Canada. Now, usually when these lists come out, they don't include many places in Manitoba. In fact, most years they don't have any in Manitoba. But this year, for a reason I'll talk about next week, there were two buildings. And so I thought, well, I'm going to take that list of two buildings and expand it to what I consider a top 10 list of endangered buildings in Manitoba.
Gordon, thank you so much.
We will talk to you next week.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.